Over spring break, I went to the El Paso Zoo with my family, and we were so excited to see the new lion exhibit that they have. The strength and size of the lions impressed us all. And everyone in my family have a favorite animal that we can see at the zoo. My son Harry likes the giraffes because of their spots, and he also likes alligators because of their powerful jaws. Eva, for a long time, loved elephants and now is leaning towards sea lions and gorillas. Never has anyone in my family said, as we were driving to the zoo, "Gee, I just can't wait to see the sheep." We tend to gravitate toward the powerful and the unusual animals. Sheep, on the other hand, seem to be mindless, and they need protection and guidance every hour of every day. And Psalm 23 brings us deep into the life of the shepherd and the sheep. And what we find is someone who embraces the reality that in comparison to God, we are all sheep, and God is our shepherd. For most of us, the life of a shepherd and his sheep are as foreign to us as a zookeeper and the lions. So we will take some time to look a little bit more in depth into the lives of sheep and shepherds and their relationship. In many ways, we have romanticized the life of the shepherd in pieces of art, simplifying and glossing over the true strength and power of the image. Therefore, there are a couple items that we should unpack before we dive into the psalm for today. Israel has a long history of shepherds. The patriarchs Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Esau, and Jacob were all shepherds. Moses and King David were shepherds. The prophet Amos was a shepherd. Some of the first visitors to the Christ child were shepherds. Professor Cynthia Gano Linder gives us some insight into the qualifications of a shepherd. She writes that he must be strong, resourceful, and canny, enduring long days and nights in the wilderness as he accompanies the wandering flock and stays attuned to the well-being of his investment with tenacity and singleness of purpose. The world of a shepherd is difficult and dirty. The psalm begins with these words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This first line sheds light on the nature of God. God is our caretaker. The TEV translation of the scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." So I wonder, while this first line of the psalm brings us comfort, do we really understand and live by its truth claim? We so often put our trust in what we can do, what we can earn, what we can achieve in life, using God as someone who can further our cause. Yet the first line does not say, "The Lord is my servant, he gives me whatever I want." The tables are turned here. God provides for us what we need, not because we initiated the request, but because God knows what we need, and God cares for us. The next line gives us further insight into God's care for us. It reads, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake." The shepherd finds a place where the sheep can lie down and rest, and he guides them there. His day is focused on finding a place where there is plenty of food and an abundance of fresh water. He doesn't take them to fields that are barren or give them stagnant, polluted water to drink. There is no word of worry from the psalmist. There is complete confidence and trust that God will provide what is needed, not just for his body, but also for his soul. God knows exactly what we need, not just to survive, but to thrive. The word soul in Hebrew is nefesh. And nefesh means more than just one's soul. It means the entire person. So the line literally translated is, he causes my nefesh to return. The result of being cared for by God is that our bodies and our souls are nourished and restored. We are renewed and strengthened by God's care for us. And the psalm continues in verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This portion of the psalm reminds us that following God does not mean that we will not face darkness and evil in our lives. Following Christ means that we believe in the light and in God's goodness, even when we find ourselves in the darkness. God will see us through any trouble or turmoil that we find ourselves in. Most likely not by eliminating the danger, but by walking right beside us through the darkness. Even when enemies are present, God still provides and does so abundantly. Verses 5 and 6 read, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Oftentimes when I read this psalm, I think about enemies as people who want to do harm to me or my family. Christopher Miller poses an alternative perspective. He brings to light the reality that oftentimes we are at odds with the people that we break bread with. And this perspective literally brings the psalm home. Rather than thinking about some robber sitting outside of our house watching us eat dinner, perhaps we are to think about the disunity and discord within our own homes that comes to light at the dinner table. Even when we cannot get along, God is still present and still provides for us all. Christopher writes, perhaps God anoints us with oil to bless us with the wisdom, the endurance, and the strength to find peace with one another. What is the plural form of the word sheep? Sheep. You could have one sheep. You could have 100 sheep. It's the same word. And there's this implied understanding of community when it comes to sheep. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I am a sheep, and to be a sheep means that I am part of a flock of sheep. God meets and cares for us where we are at, in the midst of community. This psalm is so familiar that I wonder if we place it on a shelf when life is going well, and we only think about it when life spirals out of control? Or is this psalm a reflection of how you live your life in complete trust in God? We have for the past month looked at how we can allow fear at times to keep us from moving forward and serving God. Fear can keep us from embracing change. It can keep us from experiencing something new. And fear can lock us up and keep us from moving out of our zones of comfort. Yet today's scriptures show us how to respond to God's action in our world. rather than allow the negative forces around us control us, we can embrace the presence of God in every moment of every day. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, you are our shepherd. You provide for us our every need. You walk with us, and you encourage us to be your hands and feet in your world. Strengthen us today to do the various ministries you have called us to do. And may you bless each and every one of us as we follow you. Amen.